This episode is brought to you by Visit Williamsburg. In Williamsburg, Virginia, there's never too much of a good thing. Whether you're a foodie, a golfer, a history buff, a shopaholic, an outdoor enthusiast, or a thrill seeker, you'll find what you came for here and more. So ask yourself, what is it you want? Discover Williamsburg and plan your trip at visitwilliamsburg.com.
You guys need to see a podcast with me. Getting tired of this yet?
Welcome, everyone, to this completely unnecessary podcast for March 31st, Tuesday, 2020. Hope you're all safe out there, self-isolating as much as possible. I'm Pat Contry. That's Ian Ferguson.
We're howdy.
About 5.3 feet away from each other. We can probably go back a few more inches, but
it's more like four.
It's a little more than four. We're risking it for you guys, though. Today, what we're talking about, the Nintendo Direct that came out, and the crown jewel of it, I thought, Clubhouse 51 Games. I'm talking about the PC Engine Mini being released in limited quantities. Well, the Atari VCS had a dashboard test video, and a couple of rare games getting dumped, or prototypes and rare games. Preservation news, and a Dragon's Lair Netflix movie announced. Plus Q&A, Scumbag. So it's going to be a packed, action-packed episode.
I have a prediction that this one's going to be lean and mean. I have a feeling that these topics will be laser-focused.
Laser-focused? Were they laser-focused last week? I know we upset someone on Twitter flailing his arms around. Nothing like this week you think is going to happen? We'll see.
I don't know. Maybe.
Maybe. Maybe not. It's up to us. It's up to us. What did you do this weekend? Anything?
I played Animal Crossing.
You like being on the island?
Yeah, I like being on the island. I cooked. I played Animal Crossing. I did a shift of curbside pickup at Luna. Recorded for extra napkins. Streamed myself cooking. Yeah,
I would watch you stream.
It
cooking.
Was about as action packed as it could be right now.
Okay.
What about you?
You get any reps in? The exercise?
No, no reps.
You gotta get the resistance bands before they jacked the price even more. I bought them before they jacked it, literally doubled the price in like a week.
So you could do your Pat workouts?
Yeah, do my Pat workout. What?
Pat workouts? I'm on the phone with this guy yesterday, and he tells me he's going to do a Pat workout. Like, that's just what people call shit.
No, I already did it when I said
oh, that's what you had done. You got your Pat workout in.
No, I have a very strict routine. It takes me like a half hour to get through. I built up a sweat.
I suppose you're not doing a Tom workout or a Bob workout
or a
Jillian workout. I mean, that's someone else's workout.
The heavy bag's on the way. I have to see. It's a 100-pound commercial heavy bag. Like the one I use at the gym, I got to see where I can hang it on the Pat Gota, or the Pat Garage. We'll see, or I got to get one of those. I won't have to have a huge freaking heavy bag stand. But I understand that it's you got to mount. I'm not good at like screwing things into mounts and ceilings and that. I don't want to deal with that. I don't have to hire someone to come mount a fucking heavy bag and they got to take it down. So I might just get the stand and put it in the backyard. We'll see.
One of the weighted stands.
Yeah, because I think I was talking to my kind of engineering cousin. He's like, yeah, it's 100 pounds, but it's a lot more when it's moving. Like it creates more force because of the direction. I'm like, oh, that makes sense. Because like if I try to hang it from, I've like the ceiling storage that's supposed to hold up to like 450 or 500 pounds.
Yeah,
it's not just 100 pounds of heavy bag. If you're punching it, it moves and jerks. So
sure.
I'm like, I don't want the fucking ceiling to collapse. You know,
right?
So that's what I'm thinking about. That's the only I'm getting workouts in, but the heavy bag is like my cardio basically. So I hate running. I used to run every other day, and it ruined me. My legs, I'm not built for it, but the heavy bag's good there. So other than that, I actually had two things go on this weekend.
What did you do?
First, I had a flash sale on ultimatenintendo.com for certain NES Super Nintendo guidebooks, and it was called, I used code SoCal for a 10% discount because we were supposed to be at SoCal. So I was like, yeah, I'll do it.
Indeed.
In memoriam. It's coming back, though, next year. And I sold more books than I thought with the flash. So thank you so much for supporting. I guess you want something to read if you're isolating, you're at home. It was great. And we sold some, you know, we sold a few T-shirts. We sold the last large My Man shirt that was available in storage. So that's gone. I should have kept it. You can still get them on Teespring, though. And the other thing that happened, though, on the site was updated DHL pricing for Canada and Europe. It's a lot cheaper. A lot cheaper. So look into that if you didn't get a book before there.
But you have some shaving cream on the side of your face or toothpaste. It's gone now.
Okay, thanks for pointing that out 7 minutes into the show and two sponsorships in. Anyway, so...
it was tiny.
It was tiny. Probably toothpaste. I hope it was toothpaste. Plus, I streamed. I streamed a lot this weekend. I streamed Saturday and Sunday.
Wow.
It's Contry Code, C-O-N-T-R-I code on Twitch. And I did the first three... I'll get into this. Basically, Doom. I streamed the first three episodes. I forgot that the options for controlling it are outside the program, not in. So I was like, oh, I'm stuck with not being able to strafe with a button. You have to like hold something and hit it. So left and right turn versus WASD. I didn't realize till day two, after I'd beaten episode one and two, Knee Deep in the Dead and the Shores of Hell, that I could change it to act like a real first-person shooter. So I played the first day. I played on... What's the middle difficulty before Ultraviolet?
Hurt Me Plenty.
I played on Hurt Me Plenty, and it was challenging because it was more difficult. But then I went to Ultraviolet for episode three, Inferno. And Ultraviolet's tough, even with real controls. But then I tried the canon but crappy Thy Flesh Consumed that they made after it. When Doom 2, I think, already came out. They added a fourth episode that takes place and does have nothing to do with the actual story, because it ends after episode three, then they go back to Earth for Doom 2. And it's terrible. It's just overly difficult. Even on Hurt Me Plenty, I barely beat the first stage on Hurt Me Plenty, because it's just way too many monsters and there's no ammo. So there's like, on the first stage, there's like two barons. There's out of nowhere, guys just keep teleporting in, like literally like probably 30 to 40 imps, all in this constrained area. And I gave up. I just gave up because I couldn't get past the second stage. I'm like, this is ridiculous. This is ridiculous. And when the difficulties go down, like I started in Ultraviolet and that was impossible. And then on Hurt Me Plenty, I was like, well, you get a little bit more health. And it wasn't even that much easier. So don't play Thy Flesh Consumed. It's garbage. They just did it just to be masochists. It was bad. But so then I switched to Unreal, the original Unreal. Not Unreal Tournament, Unreal. Which had a fantastic single-player campaign. And the multiplayer was so good that they basically made that the basis for Unreal Tournament, which came out in 99. Unreal came out in, I believe, 98, not 97. So I had to download a patch to make it more compatible with OBS and make the graphics. Not make the graphics that better. It's not like remastered, but...
1998, yeah.
To sort of like fake these settings for OBS. It's a beautiful looking game, even 20 years later, Unreal, if you haven't played it. And I played through like 5 hours, and I think I'm only like 2/3 of the way through the game. It's a beefy single player campaign. And it's great because it's one of those things where it's almost seamlessly flows through from one stage to the next.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, it's connected. You can't go backwards, but it's logically connected as you go through. Like you're a prisoner on a prison ship that crashes on a planet that has aliens. Then you find out the peaceful Nally folks with four arms have been invaded by other aliens, and you have to go into the temple, and it's fantastic. Like, Unreal is good because the weapons are so good, but I'm overpowered in this game. I think I'm playing it on above average difficulty, and it's a tough game. It's a tough game because you don't get the powered up weapons. Like I didn't get the 8-ball rocket launcher until like 2/3 of the way through, and if you don't have at least that, you're in trouble for some of these guys. But, you know, I had a great time streaming. I don't have time to do it more because it sort of took up my whole weekend, but it was fun. It's fantastic.
Nice.
Are you proud of me, Ian? I played a game and had fun?
I mean...
No? I thought that would be like, yeah, Pat, good for you, buddy.
The moment you play a game without expecting anyone to recognize you're playing a game, that's when you'll have really enjoyed playing a game.
That's like some philosophical Ian point
fucking
right there.
Sit down on a couch and play a game.
I do it on my phone all the time when I'm watching. I play Zynga Poker. That doesn't count?
Play a game. Sit down and play a game.
A new game. I was sitting
a game
there.
That you haven't played.
You just want me to play.
You don't have to stream it.
You don't have to play. You just want me to play Dark Souls.
No, I just want you to play something.
That counts. I played for like 10 hours.
Something new. Dark Souls isn't even new. Play something on your Switch.
Getting chastised.
Play something on your
Switch. I'm playing a game Before, you didn't specify that it had to be a brand new game, which just play a game. Now you're changing the rules. You're moving the goalposts.
I don't know why you need me to be proud of you is the thing. Well, so if you want me to be proud of you, if you want to present something to me, then I'll be proud of you.
Don't break your back picking up that goalpost, Ian, and running 20 feet with it and putting it back down. That's all I'm saying.
I don't think you need me to be proud of you. You don't need my pride. So now if you want me to be truly proud of you, yes, go and buy a new game and sit down and play it.
So now I can't stream a game that I own, even if I had to. I hadn't played the original Unreal since college. It's been 20 years. That almost counts as new.
You played
to
it.
Me. I don't think I ever played. No, I played on the Super Nintendo for the book. I did play through all of the original Doom.
Being terrified of new things.
I'm not terrified of new things.
Play a new game.
Does it count if I download the new Unreal Tournament beta that Epic Games abandoned? Does that count?
Sure.
Man, I can't satisfy Senpai Ian over here. It's very difficult.
I played games for two days. Proud of me.
Hey, that's like my real dad. Never gives me a pat in the back. Say, now Ian's like the substitute dad that never acknowledged my successes in life or anything I did well. That's why I'm getting weird flashbacks.
I've told you your books were nice.
Oh, thank you, Ian. You're now the equivalent of, hey, what's wrong with that 1B? I don't care about all the other A's and A+'s. Why'd you get that B+ here? What happened there, buddy? That's Ian now.
I mean, I don't point these things out
to
you.
This was a B or B+, I guess, me streaming for 12 hours and playing games this weekend and having fun.
I mean, if you asked your dad, are you proud of my C? I mean, I would...
No, that wasn't it. It was just, I was presenting you my report card, and you basically said, what's wrong with this B?
I didn't ask for your report card. You're not my child.
Well, maybe you are now, Ian.
You're not
my
child.
You're my new dad.
Okay.
You're my podcast father. You're my podcast poppy, Ian.
Continuing. On this intro, this is an intro topic, not a main topic. Nintendo had a mini Nintendo Direct this past week.
Out of nowhere.
People weren't like particularly thrilled about it. I don't think it was an astounding Nintendo Direct. But let me talk about something real quick. People were upset with this Direct because it doesn't really announce anything new. We'll get over what it recaps in a second. But everyone's waiting for this new Nintendo Direct. But we've had Indie Directs. We've had Smash Directs. We've had Animal Crossing specific Directs.
Yeah, like a month, not even a month ago, right?
I realize that we want new information. I do. But it's not like Nintendo hasn't been putting stuff on. They've been putting out information. I get that there's an issue, you know, where some of the new information... I have a feeling things are being delayed because of the whole certain health crisis.
Yes.
That has happened.
Certain public health crisis.
So I'm not like... I'm not mad at Nintendo for not having a full Direct with new stuff yet. They've been doing stuff.
No, because you're a functioning adult.
I guess.
I mean, you're mad at a company for not marketing... as soon as you want them to market products that they're working on. That's just silly.
Anyways.
Excite me to buy... I want to buy things, so excite me right now, Nintendo. It's like, let's just take a step back.
That said, Nintendo does have this Direct, and it wasn't the most exciting for me. There was some new stuff announced, but it's ports from other systems, plus some news on things that Nintendo's doing that's coming out. We are getting a BioShock pack that here says... It says BioShock Collection, and in this article it says that it's the first two games in all the DLC, yet they're advertising it, as far as I can tell, with a picture from Infinite. I think it's actually all three games, because there's already a BioShock pack out for PS4 and Xbox One
that makes sense.
And Infinite.
Because Infinite's now, what, like 5 years old? 6 years old?
Yeah, in my opinion, there's no reason why it wouldn't be included. It'll probably be a download.
You think it'll be... Okay.
Unfortunately. I mean, any package like this, a lot of these are turning into, you know, you buy them and the cartridge has like one game on it and then the other two have to be downloaded.
So it's something physical at least, but they're going
to... To me, at that point, it's pointless because, I mean, if the servers ever go down, it's not what it says on the tin. So that kind of bothers me. They're also doing Borderlands, which is the first three games. That's not including Borderlands 3. That's Borderlands 1, 2, and the pre-sequel. There was a release date announced for the new, the remaster of Xenoblade Chronicles, which is coming out May 29th, 2020. And then there's Marvel Ultimate Alliance DLC. And then there was
has the Fantastic Four.
Yeah.
Woo! That means Disney's bringing them back, baby. We're doing it.
There was a couple indie games that came out. Shinsekai Into the Depths was previously a Apple Arcade exclusive. And that was released that day. And then an indie game called Good Job, which I don't really know anything about.
We play the trailer and see what Good Job's about here.
Environmental puzzles. Have you ever launched a projector through 5 office walls to get a meeting back in order? You will once you play Good Job.
That's... Oh, you clean up the office, you move stuff. Oh, this looks fun.
So
I like the color scheme. It's like all the people just like monotone colors and like the carpet's just like one green color. It's interesting, the art style.
And then there was a announcement.
Catherine Full Body.
They are adding rhythm game update to Ring Fit Adventure. That's out now. I'll have to check that out. And then they announced that the next Super Smash Bros. Ultimate DLC character is someone from ARMS. But they didn't announce who, which is weird. I don't know why they didn't.
There'll probably be another do that. Direct.
Yeah, the only thing I can think of is that's teasing to a more fleshed out Direct in the near future. Because they've already released, what, all 5 characters from
the first set? The from be 6 more.
Yeah, and they haven't done any yet. So I feel like, you know, there's probably got to be a real Direct on its way
soon. They'll probably be like, you can select one of 2 skins and it has the same exact attacks, I guess.
Sure.
Something like that. You know, you get the main guy, the main girl, maybe. Was it blue and pink? Is that what they are?
In what?
In ARMS. The guy's blue, right? The main guy's blue?
I mean, there's no real main guy.
The one that whose face appears first. And
there's sure, there's a pink-haired girl and a blue-haired girl and a neon yellow-haired girl and...
Oh, okay. I don't know. I had fun playing ARMS back then when you had it.
It's good.
That was fun.
And then they announced Clubhouse Games 51 Worldwide Classics.
We'll get into later.
Then
they announced Star Wars Jedi Academy,
yeah,
Episode 1 Racer, which was interesting to see that. It's like, wow, these are 20-year-old games that they're announcing to come. And I don't remember Nintendo ever announcing something like that before, that, oh, we're bringing these old games from prior PC or consoles and we're bringing back.
Well, I mean, they always announce eShop stuff, so I think that's probably why it got mentioned, simply because it's eShop stuff.
Well, just to focus on that, though, I just thought it was interesting.
Like, people, Star Wars.
People are like, oh, this looks like a PS2 era game. Well, yes, because it is.
It is.
That's why it looks like that.
My lack of interest in Star Wars aside, I would consider picking up Episode 1 Racer, depending on the price.
That was always fun.
That was a fun game.
Jedi Academy, I did not play, because at that point, it was so far removed from Dark Force. I was like, okay, enough. I'm out. You ruined my Dark Forces franchise of making it Jedi's. And then the Panzer Dragoon remake, which I think we talked about that last year. We mentioned it, maybe.
Most likely.
But it's out now. They had to fully remake it. So there you go. Trials of Mana, Sword and Shield expansion, etc., and a little bit more that we talked about.
The big one that I'm most excited about is Mr. Driller Drill Land is coming out June 25th.
Okay.
That was never released officially in the U.S., that was a GameCube Japanese exclusive Mr. Driller game, and it's fantastic. There's a lot of different modes and mini games and things in there. Totally a random ass thing for Namco to pull out of nowhere, but I'm very happy they're doing it. You won't have to import it anymore, keep a GameCube hooked up or anything like that. It will be there to go for a lot of people. This will be brand new.
You can use your killer Mr. Driller arcade skills on this, right?
I can do my best.
How are you doing on that quest for the high score?
I mean, I'm nowhere near the high score, but I'm certainly better than I was.
Okay.
Much better.
All right. So, Ian, the highlight to me, and I think to you, of the Nintendo Direct was a game coming out called Clubhouse 51 Games.
I think this is a very interesting game for a lot of reasons, but I don't know that it's a highlight. I already explained to you that the prior one on the DS was kind of like a weird shovelware title, so I have a let's wait and see approach to this.
You know, let's wait and see this. Okay, so what was Clubhouse Games 51 on the DS, real quick, Ian?
It was a collection. Clubhouse Games is a series. Mm-hmm. And Clubhouse Games, it's a collection of games, usually card games or board games, that you can play on the go. It's kind of like a Hoyle's Book of Card Games. Anyone who's ever seen those.
Not just card games, though.
No, I know, but I'm saying that's kind of what it is.
This came out, it was 40...
But you can play it.
It came out in 2005, the original, it looks like. And it was called, in Europe, 42 All-Time Classics. And include card games, board games, variety games, some action games, and a few single-player games. So, when I first saw this announced, the first thing I said was, when I saw this 51 Worldwide Classics, I'm like, I'm intrigued because it's 51 games. It's a chunk of, like, you know, all-time classic board games, checkers, Othello, which is the commercial name. You get, you know, yacht
Reverse
dice.
C would be the non-commercial name.
You get
name.
Yacht dice, which is Yahtzee. You get, solitaire. You get Texas Hold'em.
You get a word game. You get a generic word game.
Yeah, so, and it's worldwide, so there's a lot of stuff here I never even heard of. There's a few Mahjong games that you might be familiar with. There's that one game with the stones you pick up and move it. There's
Mancala.
There's Chinese checkers, which I actually used to play as a kid with my great aunt. So on the surface, I'm like, this is interesting here. Let's see more. But then I was intrigued because there was a lot of games that aren't board games or, you know, dice games or, you know what I mean? So, hell, I'm going to run through
all of them.
There's
an air hockey.
Well, I'm going to run through all of them real quick.
Okay.
I mean, we'll get through them fairly quickly here. And what's cool about these games, is that it's couch co-op, local multiplayer. Two players, for example, on Reversi or Othello, whatever they call it, can just use, you're using your Switch as the board. But there's also going to be games where you can just use the Joy-Con.
Yeah. There's a lot of family fun in the living room to be had in a package like this. You can lay it on the table and like
backgammon, which
use it as a board. I love
which
backgammon.
I never learned how to play for some stupid reason.
Backgammon's so much fun.
I should have learned how to play that. I just should have. Okay, so I'm going to just run through all of them. Fuck it. We'll get through these fairly quick. We're not going to stop on a lot of them. Okay, so... damn, I can't stop because I can't see what they're called here when I go through it. Here. How do I make this bigger so that I can see that? Mancala is the stone one you told me about. Mm-hmm. So you're dropping stones from one part to the other. I guess it's like almost like a... Probably like a cousin of backgammon for what it looks like.
We have 51 games to
get
through.
We're getting through them. Okay. Hanafuda, which I'm not familiar
Cards.
With. I know it's a card game. Backgammon. You're a backgammon fan. I never got it, but it's interesting, and it'd be cool to, like, you know, to put the finger on the little checker pieces and move them around there. Renegade. That's their name for Reversi, is Renegade here. Okay? And you're a big fan of that. Checkers. I like checkers. I don't like it as much as chess. President. Never heard of that as a card game before. It was hard. These are all, like, one-second blips. It's hard to figure out what that is. Seeing it. Dominoes. I like dominoes. I always forget how to play until I play it again. Are you a Domino's fan?
Yes, I love Bones. Love some Bones.
Speed, which I never played. It almost resembles something like Spit I used to play as a kid.
Speed is fun.
Hare and Hounds, that's a board game I never heard of. I'm guessing that's from Europe.
Old-timey, I'm sure.
It's old-timey.
I'm sure.
Good old Blackjack, and it shows four players here that you're, you know, so we can yell at you when you hit when you shouldn't or stand when you shouldn't with the dealer. So that's good. I love Blackjack. Four in a Row, which is Connect Four. It's the generic name. I love Connect Four. I had it as a kid. Chess. This very important when you talk about chess. You have to talk about the board design if it's easy for you to grasp and to see the pieces. This board design, and maybe there's more than one you can do, is a very nice board chess board set. In that it's like a classic wood, but the pieces, white and black, are easy to differentiate right away what the pieces are. There's a lot of games you play sometimes, chess games, video games, where it's hard to see at a quick glance what's the bishop versus what's the queen, for example. You know, this has, they have gold trimming, so you can easily identify what piece is which. I love that. It's just a nice little touch that to me is going to be nice. And now I can kick your ass maybe playing chess on the Switch. There you go. Shogi, not familiar with it.
Shogi is what is oftentimes more or less wrongly referred to as Japanese chess, but it's close.
It's close like that. There's a mini Shogi. Ludo, which went by in a split second, so I couldn't see it. Ricci Mahjong. It's a Mahjong game.
So that's the interesting thing about that is, so that's your standard Japanese Mahjong. That's the Mahjong that I always talk about.
Okay.
And they even show in the video... four people can actually use their... You can use four switches and four people to play that properly so that each person has their own rack, and then it still shows their discards and stuff at the top. It's okay. A nice way to do it.
Sevens, not familiar. If that's like some sort of game like spades, I'm not familiar. Golf. Golf is cute because it's a little toy golf game where you're like swinging your club and you try to get, you know, you try to get the hole there. It's like almost like NES golf to me looking at it. It's that sort of simple overhead view. There. Darts. Okay. Now we're getting interesting because now we're getting away from board games and now we're getting the stuff where you'll probably likely use the Joy-Con to simulate the movement and throwing the darts. Now we're getting to me. Now we're opening this up a bit more. Texas Hold'em. This is going to be great to play this against people, either local or local will be kind of tough unless you have your own Switch, but online, I can see this being good. And obviously, there's probably a Texas Hold'em game on the Switch, but again, this pack's going to help bring it to life because more people will buy this. And Texas Hold'em is a game that's it can go fairly quick in rounds. I think it'll be a good one to play here. Nine Men's Morris. I've never heard of that in my life. It's a little marble looking game. Air hockey. You mentioned that. So you'll use your finger on the Switch to just go back and forth. It's just a simple little game that could be fun. War. The simple game of war.
Yeah, that probably doesn't need to be in there.
If you can do poker, you can do war. Carom, which looked like a table hockey sort of thing.
Carom is
but without the hockey stick. Remember shuffle hockey, whatever it was.
They used to always sell carom boards and brand names around Christmas. It's like I think you actually use a cue too to move like a puck around.
That to me looks like the game they would set up when they had like the summer park sort of day club thing.
Sure,
it's a game like that. Chinese checkers. I love Chinese checkers. Yacht dice. Yacht dice is cool because it's Yahtzee, so that's good. You have your little shaker, which I'm guessing you shake your Joy-Con and you toss the dice. I wonder what that's going to rhyme me up. We'll get to it later. Takoyaki, not familiar with that.
I don't know.
Card
Takoyaki
game.
Is octopus dumplings, so I'm not really sure what it's supposed to be there.
Good old billiards here. Mm. If you want to get your billiards fixed and want to play pool, there you have it. I can picture that using the Joy-Con as well to sort of go back and forth like Wii Play, which we're going to get into. Some of these games resemble stuff on Wii Play. A Hex, which I'm not familiar with at all. Looks like a match game. Spider Solitaire, which looks like traditional solitaire to me.
Spider Solitaire is very different.
Is it really different?
Yeah, Spider Solitaire usually uses two decks too.
Uses two decks. Well, usually in solitaire you can pick one deck, or I think, was it five? Is it five? No, it's one deck. I'm thinking blackjack. One deck, two, okay.
As a person who plays a lot of shitty solitaire games with actual cards on my own, trust me, Spider is very different than Klondike.
Oh, you're right. There's two aces with spades there.
It's very different.
So you have to...
Klondike is traditional solitaire.
Okay. Gomaku, which looks like Othello on the surface, but probably different rules there. Matching, it's just like a match game, like memory game.
Yay.
That's for the kids. Bowling. When I see that, now I get a little more excited, because now this is the closest thing we're going to have to Wii Bowling. On the Switch.
I think you are putting way, way too much...
You think? No?
Yes. You're putting way too much faith on this bowling. I would imagine it's going to be a very simple endeavor. We'll see. But no, I don't think we're going to
get... Well, bowling is a simple endeavor.
I don't think we're going to get Wii Bowling. No.
You don't think it's just going to... Like, you're going to have 10 frames you play with yourself or friends, right?
I'll be surprised if it plays anything like Wii Bowling. That's all I'm saying.
The Joy-Con can't simulate what a Wiimote does?
I'm not saying it can't. I'm saying that they're probably not going to put that effort into it. Whoops.
You're kicking and getting mad. Okay. Shooting Gallery looks like the Wii Play one. Like, it resembles it a lot with the crosshairs and the balloons. Slot Cars. Looks like you make your own set and you race them around.
All right.
Okay. Dots and Boxes is a little drawing game. Strategy game, it looks like. Hit and Blow, I'm not familiar with that. It looks like it's up to 8 players there. It's like a multicolored marble game. Pig's Tail, which is a card game I never heard of. Mahjong Solitaire, you ever play Mahjong Solitaire?
No, that's what people always... Well, here and there, but I don't really play that. That's what people always get Mahjong confused with.
Last Card, which is a card game, looks like it's using its own card set. It looks like Uno, actually. Is that Uno? It's Uno! I'm looking at it. It's 2, 3, 4. Yeah, it looks like an Uno knockoff. There you go. Fishing, Ian. There's a fishing game.
Yeah.
A simple little fishing game. There you go. Klondike Solitaire. There's the other solitaire. Toy Tennis, which looks like a board tennis game. Where
they do a toy
slots.
Tennis, there's a toy baseball, a toy curling, and a toy boxing.
Toy soccer as well. Now, I'm upset that there's a toy soccer. If you can do toy soccer, you can do toy hockey. You can do a tabletop, because it's the same concept as the soccer one, where you move your players in the slots and you twist them around there. So do the hockey. Toy curling looks interesting to me. Toy boxing looks like, depending on how it plays, that's...
It looks like trash. It's Rock'em Sock'em Robots.
Well, that's what almost what you know, Wii Boxing was. It was like, just go like that and hit the guy with a little bit of strategy thrown in. Toy baseball looks fun because it resembles the
I like
you had
I like
kid.
That stuff, yeah.
Or you just, you know, it's like the closest thing to eating, you'll have a
pitch
pinball.
And bat.
Pitch and bat. And you get outs or points where you go. It's almost the same thing. It's the same thing as when you had the ones as a kid in the little spring action almost there. Battle Tanks, which is a tank game overhead, but 3D-ish, and you shoot at the other tanks.
Yay.
There's also a multiplayer one. I think that'll be the one that you get the most use out of if you play with friends. Sliding Puzzle, which is just a slide puzzle game. I always hate those games. Six Ball Puzzle, which is a match game. I guess a match six, I guess. And then finally, you get... And that's the 51. So that's it. So on the surface... What this comes to you?
We did not need to go through all of those.
Well, we did. So this is what I'm going to say. The fact that Nintendo is pushing this on a direct, this got really good feedback online from what I saw. I love the fact that there's going to be one game or one title where you can access all these games. And from how it looks, when you go to try to match, you pick three games to match with someone. So I can go, hey, Ian, three games we put, or you know, let's do Texas Hold'em, let's do the pitching game, the pitching batting game, and let's do Mahjong. We can throw in three totally different games. You try to match the people, and then you play them. I like that concept. Then you can bounce back and forth.
Yeah, that's neat. Otherwise, it would be very, very difficult, I think, to find people to play very specific games with. There are going to be some on there that, provided that this sells and comes out, you know, and it reviews well, there are certain games that I think are going to be naturally more played online. Reversi, chess.
Texas Hold'em,
checkers.
Depending on how good the bowling is, we'll see.
Even Moncala, probably, and maybe the Ricci Mahjong. But a lot of those, you know, are going to be harder. I don't know that you're going to find a lot of people to play Hounds and Hares with.
That's a little, some of these games are very esoteric, but I like that they include them because why not? They probably, if they had them in a past game, just put them in.
And who knows? We might see toy boxing at Evo next year, but, I don't think that one's going to have a big scene.
I'm excited for some of the little toy ones. I think I'm giving
them. No, they're fun. I mean,
but yeah, you're not going to play a long time with someone.
This
yeah.
whole package looks good. It looks entertaining, provided it comes out and everything is done well. It looks fun. I just don't, and I know where you're going with this, but I have a different take on it. I don't know. This is not like a mind-blowing thing.
No, it's not a mind-blowing thing at all. This is the closest thing, though, we are going to get to the Wii, like I said, like the Wii Play and Wii Sports package. Having like something, a collection of stuff you can play, and a lot of people played those games simply and never even moved on to some of the other games.
Sure.
Like, this was good enough for me.
Yes.
Like if I was in a certain demographic, this might be good enough to satisfy me.
Yeah.
Or an older relative. Hey, let's play Dominoes, Pops. Let's play this. And, you know,
addition of some simple action-y or, like, non-card or board stuff, the addition of stuff like bowling, tanks, I guess.
Yes.
The puzzle game.
Like I said, that's when it becomes more Wii Play, when you see the tank stuff, when you see the shooting gallery, when you see the darts, which when you see the billiards was on the Wii Play. So when you see that stuff, that's just Wii Play
stuff. It's got board and card games. It also has some of the stuff that you might find, like, some of the more arcadey action stuff that you might find on one of those bar, like, touch screen games. I'm surprised that there wasn't, like, a simple breakout on here or, like, a Tri-Peaks, like, speed solitaire.
I mean, I'll be honest. I mean, you're going to get on me. I played Wii Play a lot in the Wii if I had people over. We played the tanks game or we played the shooting gallery. It was just fun to get into it.
Why am I getting on you?
No, because it wasn't new enough, I guess, for back then.
No, because you're grasping... I liked Wii Play, but don't grasp for Wii Play like this is evidence of you being a fucking modern gamer.
I liked Wii Play when it came
out. Sure, it's fun.
It was fun. I like the Duck Hunt.
Yes, I am going to get on you if you decide that this is going to be an example of you staying up to date with current fucking gaming, Pat. Holy shit.
Okay. This is what
God damn.
So, okay. So you select up to three games you play, you match with people, and there you go. I think this is going to sell better than you think. It's $40, so it's like 80 cents a game. Even if I play, I think I'd probably only play probably between 10 and 20 games on here. The other half of them, I don't know what they are. So it'd be tough to get into. But again, we're not the only audience.
I think it's a shame that this was not
a launch?
You can play it right now sort of thing on mini direct. I have a feeling people watching this in this current situation were probably like, this is out right now. I will buy it right now. I would have bought it right that second if it was available as a digital purchase, or I would have ordered it, you know, from Amazon or something. That said, a lot of my excitement immediately cools off when it's like, it comes out in June.
You'll see where you are in June.
We'll see where I'm at in June. I have lots of actual board and card games and stuff like that. But it is nice. I mean, for travel, it would be cool. This would be really good. A situation where I could see this being perfect, and it really leans into this portability factor of the Switch that makes it nice, is car trips. Imagine going on a car trip with your parents and like your sister, or in my case, my brother, and having something like this to keep you busy
for like three hours
in the back seat for 3 hours. It's fucking perfect
because you don't even need two Switches. A lot of these games you just play as basically your Switch becomes
a board.
You
plop it down on the borderline between your area
this is my seat, and
her seat,
and you play.
And then you play. It would be perfect.
Or if one has a Switch Lite, or you both have a Switch Lite, you can play as well. You can play some stuff on it. I'm excited. I'm going to buy this. I'll buy this in the physical version if there's a physical one. I'll probably pick it up there. We can get into it. The one thing it didn't have, Ian, was a good old cornhole. Didn't have the cornhole. You're almost there with the darts. You got the movement going, and I guess the bowling. There's some games you probably use the movement of the Joy-Con. There's no cornhole out here. And one other thing. Once you get to 51 games, you have a ton of stuff you can do. I was thinking, you know, you could probably get away if you have like the generic Yahtzee. There's a generic Uno, which I didn't catch the first time around. You can probably even just put it in a generic, like even like a battleship. I think you're allowed to do your own generic battleship. I don't think that's like a concept.
Generic battleship in a lot of things. I mean, fuck, Nintendo released a generic battleship and called it Radar Mission.
I think that was the only thing. It's like
on the original Game Boy.
That was one thing I would say. It's like a little bit more complexity of the board games, but they wanted to go like worldwide classic. Like these are games around for like hundreds of years. I understand that they didn't want to do Chutes and Ladders or something like more complicated like Life. But I thought like
Chutes and Ladders is a fucking trash game that has absolutely no skill. Literally, all you do is spin a spinner until someone wins.
I didn't have the only
that's it.
I had Snakes and Ladders, which was the Christian version. We got it like the little shop. It was like a little mini. Remember the little magnetic little board?
Oh, yeah, I had that too. I had one of those.
It was called Snakes and Ladders because it kind of did a little Christian twist by having the snakes as like the serpent. But the board setup was exactly the same as Chutes and Ladders. You had like the one long one from like the second row. If you got that, you basically won the game.
Mine did not have a Jesus-y sheen, but
mine had a Jesus-y magnetic sheen to it on there.
Mine was just a magnetic Snakes and Ladders. Chutes and Ladders is the trade name, I think.
Yeah, that's a trademark name.
Yeah.
But Snakes and Ladders were there. So all I'm going to say is that there. Once again, the Switch exists for local, multiplayer, for couch, and for family fun.
For travel.
And for travel, too. And for online play. It's a combination. So anyway, so I think it's going to be interesting here once this comes out here. Any last thoughts on this?
No.
Okay. All right, Ian, PC Engine Mini sort of came out surprisingly because we thought it was going to be pushed back along with the TurboGrafx Mini. But it was released, it seems like, at least in limited quantities.
Yes, I believe my buddy is perhaps waiting on one. That's a good sound.
It was working before.
It's a good sound. So you were saying PC Engine Mini.
So the PC Engine Mini came out, and there's already been reviews of it. Nintendo Life reviewed it. A YouTuber reviewed it as well, which we'll get into his review in a second. So it seems like...
What is with this headline? Still an acquired taste, even after 30 years, and we wouldn't have it any other way. Well, what is acquired about...
The TurboGrafx library is a little weird compared to the other mainstream...
But I mean, the games that they picked for this, I wouldn't say that anything on here is particularly an acquired taste.
It's an acquired taste library. Not everyone wants to play 20 shooters.
I guess.
That's acquired, Ian. I love shooters, but... Anyway, okay, so it comes out. It's so funny how the PC Engine Mini is not that much smaller than the actual
PC. Okay, now it's a weird library.
That the actual PC Engine, it's like, I don't know, 15% smaller than the actual, just make it the PC Engine at that point. But it seems like from the reviews, and there's also a YouTuber did a good video review named Scarlet Sprite, so check out that review. I'll link that. It seems like it was positive, but mixed positive in terms of the review here. It seems like the console itself and the build quality was nice. Some people were upset you couldn't actually put a Hue card in it, but then why would you be able to? There's two USB ports on that. We knew that before, so you don't need necessarily get their five-port USB hub unless you want to play a five-player TurboGrafx game. So that's an improvement on the original freaking PC Engine TurboGrafx. There still has the green on switch there. But it seems that the controller was the original PC Engine controller, which was before they added the turbo switches. That alone would not want me to get the PC Engine version. I'll wait for the TurboGrafx one that has the auto fire switches on that, because that'll be annoying.
I never use those.
You never use them at all? Any games?
At all.
You don't like to even switch between different shooting like levels of when doing a shooter?
No, if the shooter is auto, then I'll use the auto. If it wants you to tap it out, I tap it out.
You don't want to do the cheat and use the auto? Anyway, so that was the one big thing. But unfortunately, it seems like from the reviews, the emulation seems to be a little weird from the couple of reports. It could be slight lag, and he was playing Ninja Gaiden Scarlet Sprites, and that's a game where you cannot get away with any lag playing Ninja Gaiden at all on the timing. So he said there was a little bit, it seemed like, with that game. For a shooter, I guess it probably could be affect you if it's a really quick shooter.
Oh yeah, no, lag is really annoying
as well. So we'll get into maybe the positives of that later in terms of things getting shut down in terms of production. But that was the one thing. The other thing that was referenced was shimmering effect. When things are moving, it looks like that effect where it looks like it's jittering a little bit, almost like shiny.
Mm.
And that's distracting when you're playing a shooter. And I saw comparisons on the Scarlet Sprites video. He compared, I think it was R-Type, he showed it. And it is bad. When you see that, in terms of the finishing touches, the menu is really nice. It's reminiscent of obviously the other classics that have come out, the Nintendo ones and the Genesis ones. It seems like it's nice. You have your five different ways to view it, including your Turbo Express screen or GT screen, where it's really small and it's really bad looking. But hey, if you want to do it, you can do it. I just think it's funny.
Sure.
When you select the game, from the menu, you see the Hue card being put in, which is cool, or you get the CD-ROM load-up sound and seeing the CD. Like,
that's cool.
It's just a cool little touch that finishes off. This is why. Well, why would you want to do this versus emulator? Because of this, you get a little bit extra there. In terms of the game selection, we don't have to go through it before, but yeah, it's a shooter. Obviously, a shooter-heavy console.
Sure.
Obviously. So, what did you get out of reading about this or looking at it? What did you think?
I mean, it seems decent. I mean, despite it's odd to me that, despite the mentions of like the shimmering and a little bit of lag, it says that the emulation quality is absolutely spot on. So I'm not sure what it is. But it seems like it's probably still a worthwhile way to play all of these games for people who don't want to spend a ton of money. There's obviously emulation, but hey, with this, you get something that looks neat and it's official. As they say, there's a number of games on this list that are fairly expensive at this point. Blazing Lasers is getting up there. Kadash is over $100 if you want to play that in English.
Really?
Yeah, Kadash Complete is over $100.
Oh, Complete.
Okay. Yeah, the U.S. version. The Japanese version's cheap, but that one actually has English text in it. Rondo of Blood is probably between $1 and $150 again.
Oh, it will go back up? I thought it dropped for a little bit,
Rondo of Blood. I mean, it did, but never like crazy low. Okay. And that one's probably at least back up to about $100.
Holy shit, Blazing Lasers is $100 without the box?
It goes for, yeah, all of these go for quite a bit.
And that's one of the more common TurboGrafx games.
Spriggan probably goes for 80 to 100. That's Japanese. There's a lot of games on here that are...
$50 for Blazing Lasers, my bad.
Loose?
Well, with the case. Someone first of all, I get $100. Sorry, it's like $50.
So, anyways, there is a lot of... there's a lot of value here in terms of what these games would cost if you wanted to buy them.
You get over 50 games.
So
on this,
yeah, I this is one that I would want to play myself though before I decided on whether I wanted to own one personally, because I own most of these games too.
Well, we gotta remember this is more expensive than the other classics. $100. The only one that was $100 was the
true
PlayStation one. We saw how horribly that went. But then again, like I said, I don't think the PlayStation library, sucked on the PlayStation Classic, and plus the emulation was horrid. If you want to make an argument, this is mixed. It's still better than the PlayStation.
Sure.
Plastic and like I said, and this has such a cult following.
Nothing that I look at here that I see in this review would make me tell people to stay away from it. Sure. I would just want to play it before I gave it a thumbs up to really see how it handled.
Well, here's the thing: the core graphics European version and the Turbo Graphics one, which have the same game libraries, those are delayed.
Right,
they're not coming out till who knows when. So I don't know with this extra time if they can update the emulation M2 or do something where it'll be different. We'll see. But they're going to have maybe months and months and months before they produce more PC Engine ones as well, and more TurboGrafx and CoreGrafx. So I don't know. I will buy this no matter what, because I'm obviously a TurboGrafx freak.
Sure.
So I will get this. The interesting thing is that there's censored versions of Splatterhouse and uncensored versions on it, which is interesting to me. Depending on which one, I guess, let's see. You get both uncensored and censored on both? Yeah. Looks like you get both versions. And you can switch between, on the menu, switch between the TurboGrafx library and the PC Engine library.
Mm-hmm.
So the games are 90% the same.
So uncensored Splatterhouse is not going to be on the CoreGrafx or the TurboGrafx 16 Mini. Right there. Splatterhouse, censored.
Uncensored, yes.
Splatterhouse,
uncensored. Oh, okay.
No.
Really?
Yes.
Damn it.
There's also an RPG that is going to be on the PC Engine version that is not on the Turbo or Core version. That's Tengai Makyo 2. And I believe the Turbo and Core graphics versions get one additional shooter in Salamander, which I believe is Salamander. I don't want to speak out of my ass, but I think that's Life Force.
And they get like the extra RPGs and stuff we can't play.
Well, we get a bunch of those, too.
Yeah, but they get a few ones we don't.
That's what I said. They get the Tengai Makyo 2 and one other one.
I was trying to think. What do they censor out of the...
Yeah, we get Life Force.
What do they censor out of...
They changed one of the bosses to... I don't remember what else they changed, but one of the bosses, I think it's the upside-down cross, turns into just a circle of floating heads.
Okay. They're being accurate to what was released, though, so I guess that makes sense.
Yes.
I don't understand why they wouldn't just give us a choice, though. Why not just do that? That just bothers me a bit.
Yeah, no, it's dumb.
It's like, why would you not do that?
Just include it all.
And you get, let's see, you don't get Bonk 3, but you get the other two Bonks, the first two. That was the only thing I said. Just give us all three Bonks. Why not? Why not just do that? You have it. Well, either way, if you want your Legend of Zelda type games, you got Newtopia, Newtopia 2. There you go, Ian. Which I don't think I've ever really played those. That'll be interesting to discover that. And crappy Victory Run. It's not a bad game, Victory Run. I just didn't understand my gear shifting, breaking down in the middle of a race. I don't think that was fair, because once you broke down and can't get the fourth gear, you're done. You're done. You can't finish the race. I just thought that was weird. Ever happened to you?
Never, no.
You ever broke your gears in Victory Run?
I don't think I've ever really played Victory Run.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
It's an all right sort of clone of OutRun. It's in that family.
Final Lap Twin is... Oh, yeah, okay. I've never played it, but I know the one you're talking about. Yeah, that's Victory Run.
Sure. So, all right. Well, I guess we'll see when this eventually comes out here. It'll be interesting to play. And, of course, they'll probably hack this thing in, like, you know, less than a month.
Yeah.
So it'll be your emulation box for... And even if that's the only thing that differentiates, you know, just play on emulator, you get the nice menu. You know, you get the little animations that an emulator doesn't give you.
You get the tiny little piece of shelf candy that everyone loves to put on their shelves.
And did you see the menu? You get those cute little guys running around on the menu. Did you see that? What guys are those from on the menu? I don't know if you saw that in the video.
I'd have to go back and look.
Okay. But you get little bonuses for your $100 there. Okay.
I don't think we really have a topic out of this next one, by the way. It's like... What do we talk about on that?
Okay, so we missed out on this. The Atari VCS...
There's nothing to talk about here. Literally, the guy turns an Atari VCS on.
There's an Atari VCS dashboard test. So it's a video that's strange because you see the guy plug in the console, the prototype Atari VCS. This is from, by the way, this is from January, but we're seeing it March 25th uploaded.
Yeah, they didn't upload it until March 25th.
Which is interesting. The build version's from January. The build version.
Sure.
Of the hardware. It just shows you, like, what you're getting, what your user interface going to look like when you turn on your Atari VCS. You get the Atari logo that shows up there. You get the little asteroids, then the Atari symbol. Okay, it's cute. You enter your password on your controller. And then you get your main menu, which looks like, you know, any Chromecast or Fire Stick, you know, where you select your Netflix, your YouTube, your Redbox, things like that. Facebook, Disney Plus is on there. But then you get your AntStream, which is going to be an included thing for you to try out. The Atari Vault's going to have the included games. But then you get your going to be a favorite, Ian, your Sandbox as a selectable menu item, so you can play in Linux there as you go along there. They load up the AntStream on here. You see, you know, your menu of games you can select. Remember, AntStream is going to be a service you can get monthly to get access to these games. They go into there. Then they go into the Atari Vault, which actually has a cute little startup screen. It's all neon graphics that we like. And then it resembles, when you scroll through, it just resembles any sort of main front ends you've seen, like you select back and forth between the arcade, what the arcade looks like. And then you can play the game or go options on it. And he plays real quick. He plays, what the hell is that game? Destroyer, where you drop the depth charges.
Yep.
Like, that's an old school game there. That you play there. I don't remember ever seeing that in the arcade. I'm trying to remember. That's like an early arcade game for Atari. Is that even 80? A game like that? So, not a huge amount to say besides they're showing a proof of concept, but they're focusing. Oh, when they click on Netflix, guess what comes up? Longmire. So, whoever has this YouTube, has this Netflix account, is a big Longmire fan. Check out Longmire. Very underrated show about a Wyoming sheriff. They did, what, 4 or 5 seasons on that there. I'll check that out there. So yeah, it just demos it. You know, I don't have anything bad to say about it or good. It's just at least they're showing some progress here of where they're going. You guess?
I guess.
Am I giving this too much credit?
I got nothing out of it, and I don't think it needed to be mentioned at all.
Okay.
Was a guy who literally turned on a system and scrolled through a menu.
Well, you see the Atari Vault, at least, being demoed.
Sure.
It's better than nothing. No? You're not giving me any credit for anything for playing a video game, streaming, for liking the bowling on the Clubhouse game.
This Atari VCS dashboard test was not a topic.
You don't like when I give stuff credit.
I mean, there's nothing to give credit to.
You don't
here.
Like when I gave Moon Patrol Amico any credit. You're like, oh, there's nothing there.
Moon Patrol Amico is a disaster.
It's going to be one of the packing games. You don't want to talk about the packing games, okay?
No, I don't. We don't need to talk about it every week.
Okay. All right, Ian, good news for game preservation about something I was not aware of, and I don't think a lot of people probably were.
A interesting Sega Master System game was preserved this past weekend. Game Day Check Kotsu Anzen from 1987. It is a Sega Master System game about...
What's the translation? Let's check with the game traffic safety.
That's exactly it. So... this was a game that was produced by Tokyo Marine, and here's some machine translation about like what it was for. They're a company that was aiming to become comprehensive security service industry, providing peace of mind to the general public through spread of property and casualty insurance while what? Preventing accidents themselves. It's an important social mission. And it's related to the safety of disaster prevention.
Okay.
The project was created mainly for the purpose of being widely used in traffic safety campaigns, kindergarten, nursery school, as well as community-wide traffic safety campaigns such as residents' associations, neighborhoods' associations, children's associations. It can be displayed. It's a cute little game with three different main modes. The modes break down into a driving sense test, you're the best driver, and Pyonkichi's Adventure. Pyonkichi's Adventure looks to be something like a side-scrolling platformer, probably something to actually get the kids interested in playing something. And it looks... Or maybe, yeah, no, it look, maybe it's overhead. There looks to be a driving game, and then there looks to be kind of like the main thing, which was probably used at most of the, you know, places it was demoed. The driving sense test, which shows with sprites a bunch of like, the gameplay shows a bunch of like traffic scenarios happening, like a car passing a bicycle or stopping at a certain place, and okay. You have to decide whether or not that was
legal.
Yeah, whether or not that was proper or improper, legal or illegal. So yeah, this comes from an interesting time where people, I think, were looking at video game systems and saying, "Well, what else can we do with these? What else can we teach?"
Okay.
There is also, we talked about it. Oh God, it's going to slip my mind now. The Konami. Remember when we talked about, I think, the Konami Space School,
yes.
The adapter for the Famicom.
Yes.
And all that. There's a game out for that that I haven't looked into, but there's a safety game for, I think, like an oil refinery or something like that.
Yeah, so we brought that up.
We brought it up. So, you know, there was a point in time where they were like, how can we make, like, how can we use this to teach people about
safety?
Safety.
But it's interesting because, like I'm watching this, it was on a Japanese TV game show in 1988. By the way, this is from smspower.org. And it was an anonymous person that dumped this, but they show, like, there's a bicycle crossing the street and a car almost hits them. So it's almost like driving safety, but it's geared towards kids, I guess, to watch out for pedestrian traffic as well. This is like a very interesting concept, I guess, that they did. It's a Mark III game, which was Master System. Real backstory on the history of this card itself. So it's not clear. It looked like it was either 200 or 300 of these produced.
Right.
They're not entirely sure here. So the last copy, according to this article here, was on, before this one, that new one showed up. It showed up in 2009, a loose cartridge surfaced and was auctioned on Yahoo Japan. No bids were placed on it because the initial price was going to be $33,000. It appears the cartridge was eventually sold outside of the auction to a private collector for an unspecified amount of money. We were aware of the auction at the time, but unable to reasonably bid such an amount. We opted out of it. The collector who purchased the cartridge at the start of 2000 did not intend to share its contents, but posted one screenshot of the title screen on their website. Ooh, ooh. Thank you so much for showing us nothing about the game.
Yeah.
So in October 2019, another copy resurfaced on Yahoo Auctions. What was more interesting, that it came with the previously unseen contents, a briefcase, a Master System console, and the two large manuals.
Yeah, that's
so, like, this
that's
is
cool.
This is how you carried it around,
you
and showed
took it
off.
Around to show people.
That's fantastic. With like, that's like a heavy duty like case. Like,
yeah.
One of those like ones, like aluminum ones, whatever they're made out of.
Oh yeah.
Initial price was 3.5 million yen. No bids were placed over a month period, and eventually the seller decided in mid-December to turn it into a regular open auction, starting at 1 yen. We decided to bid, gathered funds, and we won the auction for 521,000 yen. Now, what is that converted? I have no idea what that's converted to right now.
52,000, I think.
$4,800.
Oh, five. Okay. So, sorry, I put the decimal place in the wrong spot.
We'll just say five grand.
Yeah, 5,000. Yeah.
5 grand for something that at this point is one of a kind in terms of the entire accoutrement of items offered.
Yeah.
Not just a cart there. So they preserved it. It's available there. And you can check it out. It's adorable because there's like a bunch of animal creatures. There's like mice and pigs and other things, but there's little cars, and there's a little third-person little shot screenshot where you're driving and the person's sticking their head out the window for some reason. It looks like it's humorous, but I guess gets the point across about this is dangerous stuff to do for some of this. I don't know. I gotta like.
I think that screenshot of the driving is probably the "You're the Best Driver" game.
You're the best driver.
So if you want, you were trying to. If you wanted to give credit earlier, it wasn't a anonymous person, so
it was SMS.
It was no NPO Game Preservation Society auction is responsible for the auction handling, dumping, scanning, and cleaning, transport, and translation. There's a bunch of different people who donated and covered 30% of the total auction price, and then Omar C. Brock of SMS Power covered the rest of it. And yeah.
And there's already an unofficial English translation for it.
So you can go play.
So you can download this really bizarre looking game that now I almost want like a repro on an actual Sega Master System cartridge.
It's pretty neat.
To play it. And it's just amazing that this stuff, it seems like it's been more and more the past like year and a half, 2 years. It's almost like the SimCity NS one sort of kicked off a new era, right? It seemed like more of these things have been happening.
Yep, so we just keep getting new cool stuff.
We talk about it almost every month, or every other month we talk about it. I mean, the freaking the NES game, wrestling game, WCW one that was unreleased.
And that was within the past year.
Yeah, there's been more and more of these, and this is fantastic. I think people are finally getting them. Either they're getting the message, or there's been more, obviously, crowdfunding to get these. And maybe we're shaming some of these people as well to release this stuff, which I don't mind doing that. I got a conversation with someone who said maybe you shouldn't do that. I was like, hey, if we're not getting it anyway, it's not going to hurt. I mean, they're locking up forever anyway. This person had their copy locked up since 2009.
Yeah.
This person. And now their copy is thankfully not going to be worth that much compared to this one, because this is the full set.
Right.
So that's what you get. You know, so anyway, it's adorable. Check it out there. Ian, right now we want to avoid crowds as much as possible.
We sure do.
What if you need to go to the post office? What do you do? What if you need to send out letters and packages? Don't worry, Ian.
Stamps.com.
They're here to help. How? Well, you can do anything at the post office with Stamps.com. Print postage on demand and skip those lines and crowds at the post office. Plus, you can actually save money with discounts that you can't get at the post office. I've been using Stamps.com the year to send out packages, Blu-rays, DVDs, wristbands, enamel pins, certain guidebooks that come back and I got to send back out. They're slightly damaged sometimes. Run the gamut of things I've done with Stamps.com. I've used Stamps.com for like 5 years. You simply use your computer to print official U.S. postage 24 hours a day or 7 days a week for any letter, any package, any class of mail, anywhere you want to send in the world. Once your mail is ready, just leave it at your mail carrier, schedule a free package pickup, or drop it in a mailbox. No human contact required. It's that simple. That's simple. I liked this even before everything that was happening. It's fantastic. Like I said before, with Stamps.com, you get great discounts. 5 cents off every first-class stamp and up to 40% off USPS shipping rates. In addition to offering discounted U.S. Postal Service rates, Stamps.com also offers UPS services with discount rates up to 62%. Plus, with Stamps.com, you don't even have to pay UPS residential surcharges. Stamps.com is a no-brainer, especially now, saving you time and money, keeping you safe in these crazy times. Show your support for the CU podcast. Right now, the listeners out there, you guys, we love you. You get a special offer that includes a 4-week trial plus free postage and a digital scale without any long-term commitment to get you started. Just go to stamps.com, click on the microphone at the top of the page, and type in CU podcast. That's stamps.com and enter CU podcast. Stay safe out there, but still mail out packages. We got to keep everything going. All right, Ian, another game preservation news. This comes from GamingAlexandria.com. This was the dumping of the previously unreleased Viewpoint 2064. All right, so Viewpoint 2064 was a 3D vertical shooter developed by Rackdim to be published by the series owner, good old Sammy Corp. It was also American Sammy here. Sequel to the original Viewpoint, released in 92 for the MVS arcade system. I never played that.
Yeah, so the original Viewpoint is a scrolling shooter. It's got a three-quarter isometric view to it. It was by Sammy. Actually, it wasn't by Sammy. It was by ICOM, which was then purchased by Sammy. ICOM also did, I believe, Polestar and Blazing Star for the Neo Geo. Good shooters. It was similar to Zaxxon in like how it looked. So that was like the big selling point, was this neat pseudo 3D viewing angle.
Oh, wow, I'm looking at it. Yeah, it's the same exact angle as Zaxxon.
Yep. So the game was in production for release on the N64, a true sequel, the only true sequel. We mentioned this a while back, actually, when it was just discovered. Now it's been dumped, and it looks pretty cool, and it looks more or less, fairly complete and playable. There are some issues that are listed in the GamingAlexandria.com article that we'll go over. You can't always pick a new branching stage. So it's a shooter, and at the end of each level, similar to, like, this to me looks like it was going to be more similar to, like, a Star Fox.
Sure.
Which would have been a lot of fun, I think. So there's branching paths. You can't always pick a proper branching path because sometimes the conditions needed to pick it don't check off. You have to pick them from the actual level select screen. Some objects can be flown through. A few cutscenes have some out-of-place textures. There's an unselectable boss rush mode.
There's one of the three power-up weapons isn't functional. There's the ice one, it says it's not really working.
There's a stage that starts you off inside an enemy, so you take some damage like immediately. And some stages the pacing is all off. You won't see enemies for a long stretch or something.
So it's
like
a prototype,
that. but it's a very complete one that you could definitely get some enjoyment out of. It looks like
It looks like there's five different last stages, so there's a lot of replayability. There's different endings, so. Yeah, for a shooter, that's not too common to see something like that.
No,
so
it's very neat.
In terms of the 3D look, I kind of like it. I mean, I don't remember playing shooters on N64 that much. Maybe you can comment on how that felt versus other systems. But I would definitely try something like this out, at least.
Sure.
You know, because I do like sort of the Star Fox type of, behind the ship.
Panzer Dragoon sort of stuff, yeah.
Yeah, I try it out here. Let's see, three power-ups, fire, lightning, and ice, which orbit the player's ship. The power-ups are called options like an R-type, although players can't switch between the different types and are stuck with whatever they pick up. Each power-up increases firepower and blocks shots on the side. That's always a nice option. The fire and lightning power-ups function properly, but the blizzard power-up does not change the shots at all, and the player fully invincible instead of anything ice-related. The side shields can also be moved in front of the player's ship and can block incoming fire, but prevents players from shooting. Well, that's pretty cool. Any block shots are absorbed into the energy meter, which then lets when full lets players use a powerful wave cannon blast. That's a cool idea. Yeah, so the Blizzard one seems like that wasn't fully implemented in this version.
Right.
There, unfortunately. And you point out some of the things that's wrong with it. That aren't complete on here in terms of the branching. And I think in this version you have to complete it in a certain order to see all the endings. Things like that. So, yeah, check it out. I mean, why not? And why it wasn't released, there's some theories. This postulates that shoot 'em ups are losing popularity in the United States, and they're primarily in Japan, so why bring it out, I guess, at that point? I don't know. N64 was not really a shooter system, so that probably didn't help as well.
No. There's a Star Soldier on there.
There's a Star Soldier? Really?
Yeah. In the U.S., too.
Wow. But only if someone did a certain N64 guidebook. Maybe I'll review that one. Star Soldier Vanishing Earth. There. There was a bug one, right? A bug on the box art for an N64 game that was a shooter.
Body Harvest, but I don't think that's like a traditional shooter, no.
That's not a traditional shooter? We're already running out of them then?
Yeah.
Oh, actually that looks good, Star Soldier in N64. It doesn't look that bad. For a polygon looking shooter.
Yeah, it's a fun game.
Okay, all right. So you can download this ROM as well. ROMs for everyone this week on the CU podcast. You can go from an N64 3D a shooter to having pigs and mice teach you about traffic safety on the Sega Master System. There. All right, Ian. What's going on? We have a Netflix announcement. It looks like
we do. So Dragon's Lair.
Dragon's Lair
is back in the news again. We covered Dragon's Lair a few years ago, I think.
Twice.
I think like they were trying to like kickstart a new movie.
They were trying to kickstart enough money to make the proof of concept short film to make an animated movie.
I love Dragon's Lair, but that's a mess.
We talked about the bizarre. Like they were like it was like a local theater group that was doing the promotional video, and it was really just had nothing to do with Dragon's Lair.
Yeah, it was very strange.
I guess it was Don Bluth's pals.
But I like the games. I genuinely like the games. I know most people don't. There's not a whole lot of game to Dragon's Lair, but I like the animation. I love Don Bluth's animation, and I like just wandering through those games every once in a while. So apparently. There is talk of a Dragon's Lair movie starring Ryan Reynolds.
What?
On Netflix, who was... apparently, he was 6 years old when Dragon's Lair hit arcades.
Was it 83, Dragon's Lair?
Yeah, somewhere around there. You know, to go back to some of the things I said the first time around, I just don't know that there's a whole lot here to make a movie. Dragon's Lair was pretty animation, a skimpily dressed princess, and a hero.
And a dumb hero that you like to see get killed very often. It's going to happen in wondrous ways.
Yeah. So I don't know how...
Dirk the Daring.
I don't know how to make... Daphne. Yeah, Dirk. I don't know how to make a movie out of this. Yeah, they even mentioned it in this article. Bluth and his partner Gary Goldman in 2015 turned to Kickstarter and Indiegogo to raise money for a big screen adaptation of the game, but it was unsuccessful.
Yeah, because it's like, what will be the market for a kind of esoteric arcade title that's almost 40 years old?
Right. I mean, other than the fact that Bluth's attached to it and his animation is fantastic, Don Bluth is very, very old. Very old. And, yeah, I don't know. So then you go and you make it live action, and you've already eliminated the one thing that really appeals to me about the original, which is his animation. And you're left with a knight and damsel story, and I honestly have... no idea.
Well,
what I like.
Well, with Ryan Reynolds attached, with it. Is he going to be snarky and sarcastic? Because Dirk is not snarky and sarcastic. He's just a noble knight that is kind of goofy, kind of screws up, and he gets killed a lot. I mean, when you play it. So, is it going to be where you see Ryan Reynolds' character as Dirk get killed a lot? That could be entertaining if they could figure out a way to do that, where you're constantly doing the wrong thing, getting killed in a humorous way. That could be funny. It really could be. But that's all you got. Like that. That's really.
Yeah. There's nothing else to it.
That's all you got. I mean, yeah. But we don't have to worry about, like, this would bomb if this came out probably in theaters. But it's Netflix, so it doesn't matter. They put up the money, it gets made, we all watch it. We're going to all watch this and comment on it when it comes out. I'm just wondering why Netflix decided that this was a good idea.
Yeah, I have no idea. I also thought, you know, like you said, I thought Ryan Reynolds was...
He's not the guy
choice.
I would pick for this. You want to pick someone. You want to play this like a Leslie Nielsen in Naked Gun, where you play it straight and earnest, but it's goofy and things happen.
You know who would be good as a Dirk in that way? John Hamm.
Oh, yes.
John Hamm could be a very good Dirk. Play it real straight. John Hamm would make a damn good Dirk.
I love John Hamm.
Oh, so do I. He would be great. And he's got the sense of humor. Right, exactly. He's got the look, but he's also got that sense of humor that I think would make him good for that role.
Start the hashtag, John Hamm for Dragon's
Lair. John Hamm for Dirk the Daring.
Ham for Dragon's Lair. Two M's on the Hamm there.
Yeah, two M's on the Hamm.
So, yeah, this is going to cost a ton of money to do something like this. Now, Netflix did have their Ryan Reynolds movie, the Michael Bay Ryan Reynolds movie that came out. It was not good. I turned off after like 30 minutes.
I didn't watch it.
It was just over the top. It opened with a car chase scene that was like 20 minutes.
Yeah.
And it was like overly violent and everything. I was just like, this is nuts. Six Underground.
Oh, so that's it, yeah.
That came out, and that was something that probably would have done okay in theaters, and it went directly to Netflix. What was the budget on that? $150 million for a Netflix movie. Holy shit.
Wow.
So they're not screwing around Netflix. I guess they can afford it. What's weird about Netflix is that they don't release their numbers for who watches what, even to reportedly to like the stars of the stuff that are in it. They don't tell them how it did. It's like a trade secret to Netflix, and when they know how popular this stuff is.
Yeah.
Obviously, if they cancel something, you know no one's watching it, but... Since they're not making money directly off people watching a particular thing, they must have their own algorithm to realize, well, this was worth the money or not. But $150 million for a Michael Bay movie for Netflix. Holy shit. That I'm not sure got much fanfare at all.
Yeah.
I guess they got the money to play with. And I guess they feel that, you know, they feel the heat of like Disney Plus and these other, you know, they have to keep people on the platform by doing this. I did see the Mark Wahlberg... the Spencer for Hire sort of reboot remake, Spencer Confidential. It was pretty good.
Yeah.
It had Winston Duke in it. Good old Winston Duke from Black Panther. I never watched Spencer for Hire as a kid. I remember seeing the commercials, but as a sidekick there, and it was entertaining for you know an hour 40 minutes. I was like, okay, this is great.
Nice.
That probably didn't cost $150 million. It didn't have that much going on in it. Only got 6.2 on IMDb. Yeah, it's like a six out of ten. It's better than average. It was fine, but now Netflix is trying to make this play of, we got to do these big sort of movies that would potentially come out in theaters.
Right.
But Six Underground, I had to turn it off. I just had to. You know what I also had to turn off as an aside? And I gave it a chance. You're already tired from this podcast. It was on, I just installed my, let's see, Fire Stick. It was free on Prime, was the new Jalen Silent Bob reboot movie. I got through it because I'm an old school Kevin Smith fan, but wow, that was a little rough to get through. And I like Kevin Smith, but oof, it was a little rough to sit through that.
I mean, the first Jay and Silent Bob movie was nothing but fan service.
And it
was fun to get high and go see it in the theaters, but I never needed to see it again.
Well, this was a more mature version of it because there's still cameos to get all the old characters back. Matt Damon gets back. He has a short little cameo as Loki from Dogma. You get the Affleck character in there. You see what was her name from Chasing Amy? Is it Joey Adams? Joey Lauren Adams. She's in it. So you see all the characters back, but the story's paper thin. But it's all about Jay Muse. Actually, did a pretty good job. Finds out he had a kid from Shannon Elizabeth in Jane Saw Bob Strikes Back, long lost daughter. But the daughter is played by Kevin Smith's daughter, so it's a little weird when you realize that. So they're having emotional scenes, but it's really... Anyway, so there was slight chuckles here and there, but overall, I didn't really laugh watching it.
When it comes to his stuff, like, I kind of tuned out after Jay and Silent Bob Strikes Back. And he's obviously out there still having fun. Seems like a decent guy. I have a lot of friends who are really into his stuff. That's cool. I kind of fell off of
it. Now I'm afraid to go back and watch Mallrats. I own it. It was one of the first DVDs
I watch it every once in a while, and it's still good.
Still good. So the first trilogy is still good. Clerks,
I never much cared for Chasing Amy.
You didn't like it? That was like his serious film, basically.
Yeah,
then.
Everyone liked it. I didn't much care for it. It wasn't because it was serious. I just didn't like the movie that much.
I thought it was okay. I haven't probably watched it in 20 years.
In the grand scheme of things, it's fine. No, Mallrats has always been my favorite of his, which is kind of the odd opinion out. But yeah, I love Mallrats.
I mean, obviously Clerks was good, or else he wouldn't be able to do Mallrats. It was fun, and Mallrats is close to my heart because it featured things that I actually went to. So I was like, oh, it's
Clerks was good. Dogma was cute. Jay and Silent Bob was fun. I mean, that's really all I got to say about him.
One thing I remember about Jay and Silent Bob is that it like came out right after September 11th, or right around there. So it was a weird time,
sure,
to see something like that. That's what I remember. It was September 2001. When that came out. But I thought he was going to be done. I thought he had a certain number of movies he was going
to
do.
Dogma was supposed to be his last one.
Really?
Dogma was supposed to be his last one from what if I'm remembering correctly. Jay and Silent Bob Strikes Back, I think, was the, like, okay, we're going to go out on, like, a fun note. Like, a more fun
then
note.
Then he started doing weird stuff and he did, like, Cop Out.
Dogma was supposed to be, I think Dogma was supposed to be the last of the
View Askew
universe.
Gotcha.
Yeah. And then I think he ended up doing Jay and Silent Bob Strikes Back, and then he was only supposed to be... He was not going to stop doing movies, but he was going to go and do other
stuff. I thought he had a certain number of movies. I thought he was almost like Tarantino, said, I have a certain number of movies. I mean, that's it. I thought I heard him say
no,
that.
No, I don't think it was that. I mean, if he said that, I didn't hear it. It was always that the View Askew universe was supposed to be done after Dogma, and then he really threw that to shit with Clerks 2, and then Clerks... I think there's a Clerks 3.
I like Clerks 2.
I like Clerks 2.
That was probably me the highlight out of what...
By the time I finally got around to seeing it, I actually enjoyed Clerks 2. I did not expect to enjoy Clerks 2.
Oh my god,
at all.
Clerks 3 and Twilight of the Mallrats are coming out.
I knew there was a Clerks 3 coming. I thought, honestly, I always thought it had come out.
So I guess he's got two more in him. Maybe he.
And there was always a joke about. There was always, I thought, a rumor about Mallrats getting a sequel as well.
Well, at the end of Mallrats, I think at the end of Mallrats, they said coming soon will be, because they have
no. At the end of Mallrats, it says find Jay and Silent Bob and Chasing Amy.
It did say that.
Yes. That's
what was
what
the
it
one
says.
That I thought one of them said Clerks 2 or something like that.
No, it shows Jay and Silent Bob walking down the street with a monkey in between them. They're holding the
chimpanzee.
They're holding the hands of the chimpanzee.
Which they referenced in this movie. They actually referenced it.
And it says
Suzanne,
catch them in Chasing Amy.
Okay. Let's see. He's done a few other ones like Yoga Hosers. Red State, Cop Out, which was supposedly horrible because Bruce Willis was a wreck to work with. Zach and Miri Make a Porno. I forgot he directed that. Jersey Girl, infamously, he directed.
Yep.
So, all right, I'm there for Clerks 3 because Rosario Dawson's in it again. I'm there for any of it, and she was in this one as well. She was the wife of the Shannon Elizabeth character. It was just nice to see it. He got everyone back from all his movies. Everyone likes Kevin Smith enough to come back and do these cameos.
Yeah, even like his exes. like Joey Lauren Adams and him were like a serious, were a serious thing for years.
And she still comes back and does this. So
yeah,
whatever. And good on Kevin Smith. There you go. He's got a good podcast there. So anyway, Dragon's Lair. We'll finish up about Dragon's Lair is that this is going to be weird for people.
Don't even try to tie this back around.
I'm going to try to tie it back around because it's an older property, like Clerks would be, the comeback, or Mallrats, where it's sort of past its time. That I'm not sure if anyone young will be like, this will be interesting besides the hardcore Dragon's Lair folks like Ian and I, or Ian. All right, Ian, we got some scumbag
sellers
of the.
Weeks of the
current public health crisis. So this was a Medium article that was examining something interesting in the world of online retailers. Nintendo Switch prices at Amazon soar 62% as price gougers prey on desperate shoppers. Price gougers have sent prices of everything from face masks to hand sanitizer soaring during the coronavirus pandemic. But the latest scheme is pointing at stuck-at-home consumers looking at for some entertainment. Price of the Switch are seeing a major run at Amazon, in some cases as much as 62% above retail. They looked at 93,000 individual SKU records going back to 2016 and discovered that beginning on March 13th, about 2.5 weeks ago, prices for the Switch began a steep rise above normal retail levels. And that's about when they started locking down places. Like the California was about getting locked down around that date and time. The console is going for average $452.
Yeah, so I think San Diego, I think we were locked down on the 20th. And I believe NorCal, those six counties, Oakland area and all that.
San Francisco was locked down a little sooner.
They locked down, I think, that Tuesday the 17th. So yeah, just days before, as this was obviously getting bad, people started to be like, maybe I should have something to play at home. A lot of people have, I think, you know, I think the Switch is kind of an easy go-to for a lot of people who don't play video games regularly, who don't have, you know, who might not be the PlayStation 4, Xbox One market. You know, these are people who probably didn't have any who started to buy these. You know, people who didn't already have any systems at home, so they had nothing like that, and they're like, well, maybe it'll be fun to play a game. I think people still think of Nintendo. It's what they grew up with, and it's got the more, I don't know, fun, family-friendly, I guess, face
family,
to it.
Fun, friendly.
Living rooms. Together. But it has... you know, Mario titles, Zelda titles. It's stuff that people know. So when people think, hey, I want to play a video game who don't normally play video games, I think a lot of times it does. People are like, a Nintendo system would be fun. It's portable. You can play it on the couch. You can pop it on the TV. And Animal Crossing was starting to get a lot of hype. And I think all of that combined, the Animal Crossing, the lockdown, I think lockdown combined with Animal Crossing really put a much heavier focus on Switch demand. Kind of a perfect storm.
We haven't talked about how well Animal Crossing has done.
Yeah, I haven't seen numbers yet, honestly.
But it's supposedly done like better than what anyone thought it was going to do.
Yeah, I know it was like crazy in Japan. Animal Crossing.
So right now, I'm looking right now. So on Amazon, I'm not going to check eBay because that's going to be a shit show there. But right now, it looks like the lights are still within reason what it looks like. For a Switch Lite, now remember, Switch Lite's a single-player experience, so it's not going to be as good for the family, you know, getting two controllers. When I checked it a couple days ago, the Switch Lites were somewhat close to $200. Now they're already creeping up closer to $300. And the Switch, it looks like, you're going to have to pay over $400, $450. If you want to get the 8 Deluxe bundle... People are charging $550. That's insane because you can just buy the Switch even cheaper and just get the game separately, and it'll be like $50 less than $550, even if you pay an exorbitant amount of like $450 or so for the Switch. Looks like the gray one's a little bit cheaper because who wants those ugly gray Joy-Cons? I held out for the blue and red one myself when I did that. It looks like you can get a Switch. You can get a yellow Switch even on Amazon for like $220 to $260. So that's a little bit steep, but It's still obviously above the 200 retail on that. I'll look on eBay real quick. If you're looking up the Animal Crossing,
I'm trying to look up some of their numbers. Yeah,
on eBay, Switch console. I just want to see for the heck of it what's going on there for the sales. $450 new buy it now. 420 new. 2 hours left on a used one. 20 bids, Ian. This is, I know people are desperate. $405 for a used Switch with four games. I guess that makes it worth it. You get Pokemon, Mario, Shrivelknots, Kirby. So people are trying to, people are going to probably try to sell their used ones. You're going to have a flood of the market of some used ones during this too. It'd be interesting to see how that plays out.
Yeah. As far as sales, there's nothing solid right now for Animal Crossing, but it says that this is from the 26th, so there's nothing like up to date. But Animal Crossing New Horizons is on track to become one of the best-selling video games of all time in Japan, according to sales figures released by Famitsu. The game managed to sell 1.88 million physical copies in its opening 3 days in Nintendo's home market.
Wow.
A number far bigger than any other Switch game or Animal Crossing title to date. That includes Pokemon.
Almost
Sword
2 million
Shield.
In Japan?
Almost 2 million. That's just physical copies. That's just the first 3 days of it being released. So that's not even accounting digital.
Japan has a population of about 127 million.
It says the game managed to sell 1.88 million physical copies in its opening 3 days in Nintendo's home market.
So at minimum, you said what was the number? Final number? 1.8?
Yes.
1.8 divided by 120.
You just said that. I think you just quoted Japan having a way smaller population than it does. It has 126.8 million.
I said 127.
Oh, okay. I thought you said 1.27. I was like, huh?
That means at minimum, if you don't count digital, 1.4% of the Japanese population purchased Animal Crossing. That's I can't even fathom
that's
that.
That's just physical.
That's insane.
Yeah.
That's like probably like the Dragon Warrior craze sort of level of stuff that happened, back in the late 80s.
Back when Part 5 came out on the, Famicom and shit.
That's nuts.
Yeah, it's wild.
That would be the equivalent of, in our country, 1.4% of whatever we have, 330 million. 1.4 divided by 330. That would be what is the numbers of that? 330 divided by 1.4. I can't do the math right now.
Yeah.
So it's a big number, though.
You can't ever do the math.
I can't do the math.
Let's try to figure it out.
Let's
just say that 2% of Japan has purchased a copy of this game.
Oh, I did the math wrong. Times 0.014. That would be if 4.6 million people in this country, that would be the equivalent here.
Yeah, it's nuts.
I don't think it'll be that high here, obviously.
No, I don't.
But
either.
It'll be high.
It'll be high. But yeah,
they like their Animal
this.
Crossing in Japan. And that we do here too, obviously, but that's insane.
So, so I don't have exact numbers, but that was Japan. It was the number one seller of all video games in UK last week, although it dropped to the third place this week. I have no idea what it did in the US.
So you think there was a run of people going out to the Target like they did when they first came out and buying this to sell online? I guess some people probably guessed that this would be a thing, or they saw it happening and just sold whatever stock they had and just upped the price.
I'm guessing,
because since this isn't an essential item, there's no anti-scalper laws for entertainment like this. You can do
right.
what you want.
I also don't think this was necessarily something people planned for. I think this was just, it all happened so quick from the 13th to now. So that was probably people being like, this might be a good thing to have, in secondary. I don't know. And then they sold it for a profit. I'm assuming used ones are probably going for a fair amount, too.
Because I could still buy on Target's website, I could still get a regular Switch Lite for $200 shipped.
Sure.
So that seems like there's a lot more of those out there right now. For the turquoise and the gray one, says free shipping. It's even in stock at our local store there. Let me just see a Switch, if it's in stock anywhere. The regular Switch is not in stock at our local store. Let me check the other stores in the US, because our local store is actually not that big. Out of stock everywhere in San Diego, the gray Switch.
Yeah, not surprised.
It's gone.
So in the days leading up to us closing at Luna, I would say, honestly, 50% of the calls were for the Switch. Everyone
wow.
was looking for a Switch. That was, I could literally answer, no, sorry, we don't have any Switches, and get it correct one out of every two calls, I'm sure. And then we've done a couple of curbside pickup days,
and we'll answer the phone if it rings while we're there. Two things I want to bring up. One, it's insane to me the number of people that are still calling Luna being like, are you guys open? No, we're not.
We're not GameStop. We're not essential.
We're a week and a half in. We're doing curbside pickup. We're doing our next one in a week. Like, you can come. Yeah, you can get something then. But then the question is always, like, and it's been the joke for the two curbside pickups is, do you have any switches? No, we don't have any switches. That's what people are calling
for. Maybe you should put on your website, hey, we don't have any switches. Hey, I'm thinking of an opportunity here. I can do curbside pickup at my garage and just start sort of offload some stuff. Yeah. Hey, you want a Sega CD system? I got it ready to go. I'll bundle a few games from the shelf there. Okay, so obviously...
Oh, that was a really cute story I'll tell. When people were buying systems this past weekend, we would throw in like a free game.
Sure.
We didn't tell people we were doing that, but if you're buying a system and you're supporting us and you're coming out, yeah, fuck it. We're gonna throw you a free game. And it was always something cheap, but we tried to make sure it was something good. And I can't remember what it was. Oh, some guy bought like an N64 and a bunch of games, and I put a free Pilot Wings in there for him.
Oh, nice.
And, you know, I run out. I give him the bag. I've got gloves on. I thank him for everything. He's like, yeah, no, I really appreciate it. And we run back inside. And I run back inside, and I'm sitting there. And then, like, 8 minutes later, there's a knock at the door. And, like, immediately we're like, ah, Jesus Christ, because people have been, like, trying to come in, getting there. Like,
sure.
Stop. But we turn, and it's that guy, and he looks real confused. And he's like, you guys put something in my bag that's not mine. And I'm like, oh, that's a freebie, man. And he's like, oh, thanks. And he was, like, so happy.
Aww.
Not that I would have expected people to do that, but no one else, like, did that. Everyone else, you know, saw it and was like, well, it's a free game, or maybe it was a mistake, but whatever, I'm going home. I got games. He was like, yeah. Like, no, man, it's for you. Thank you.
Sometimes people are like...
We very much appreciate it.
There was a couple of people. There was a few people, I think, that were sent two books by accident, and a couple emailed like, hey, you sent me two books, I'll return one. And I was like, yeah, I'll send you the prepaid label. So some people are super honest like that, and they'll send it back to you with that. So this is what I'm going to say about with the current certain public health crisis. Obviously, China shut down basically their whole industry, their country, for like 2 months, from like early January up to like sometime, I think, in early March. They're now getting going again with their own basketball games and everything. They're trying. So this obviously is slowing production of new Switches. Last year, I think we reported on the podcast that Nintendo is going to be using Switches elsewhere. So looks like they already are maybe ahead of the curve, because now it looks like they're going to be producing them also in Vietnam, or have been in Vietnam. Off the top of my head, I don't know how this has hit Vietnam. I can look it up. But the good news is that there'll be more Switches on the way. It's just that with this pause and what's going on, it might be a little bit delayed here. I'll look up to see how bad it is in Vietnam and if they shut down everything.
I think Vietnam was the place I heard about that had that really great theme song about washing your hands.
Vietnam, there's only 207 confirmed total cases. They got this on lockdown. It seems like Southeast Asia has done a decent job with this for whatever reason.
Yeah.
So far. So you'll get more Switches eventually. You can't be patient though with this going on if you want to switch right now and you're home right now. Try not to go overboard here. Unless, I guess, you can afford it. Hopefully you still have your job. You can pay $500 for a Switch or more. Some of these are going for more than that, some bundles. So.
And while I have held one and I really like the Switch Lite, definitely make sure, if you're thinking of impulse purchasing one, just make sure that you're okay with not being able to hook it up to the TV.
Sure.
I'm someone who does not hook mine up to the TV very often at all, but I really enjoy having that option. I don't think the Switch Lite is bad, but I don't want someone to, like...
It's not a full substitute.
Yeah, I don't want someone to go and buy one and then, you know, regret it like a month later.
Sure. Again, you can go on... I said on Target you can buy a Switch Lite and they'll ship it to you. I didn't check Walmart, so just be careful out there with what's going on. It looks like you even buy it through Best Buy. I clicked on a Google link and it's through Best Buy. You can get the Switch Lite retail new for $200. So that hasn't obviously hit people with the same sort of impulse as getting the regular Switch, because again, Switch is multiplayer, family, friends, family, couch, co-op, family. There. All right.
Food, folks, and fun. The old McDonald's tag.
That was their logo? Food, folks, and fun?
Food, folks, and fun was a very short-lived...
And heart disease? Was that the fourth tenet of that... promo?
Yeah, I'm not imagining it. I just
was it food, folks, and fun?
I just looked it up.
Today?
Food, folks, and fun.
All right, great. All right. Ian, we have a Patreon. How do you access the CU Podcast?
Go to patreon.com/CU Podcast.
And what do you get at the podcast? You get an Ian writing just went up on Monday.
Just did writing for last week.
Oh, what was your focus, the writing?
Animal Crossing. Tried to focus mostly on Animal Crossing. This week, who knows? I got to do another one. I'll probably try to get that up soon. It'll probably be Animal Crossing again. No, I have no idea what it'll be. I don't ever have things that I think are interesting to talk about. But I find ways.
You're really selling the Patreon.
Sorry, I'm just being
interesting. What
I'm just being honest. Like I want people's fucking I want people's expectations to be tempered. We're having a certain crisis. We're in a certain crisis. I'm not doing a whole lot.
Yeah, but you can still write about whatever memories. You can do a Q&A thing. You can do whatever. I'm on Pat's separate Patreon. I'm doing now a monthly Q&A video. Exclusive to my Patreon.
Wow.
Patreon.com/PatContry. Trying to get that going again there. Thanks for that wow, Ian. Wow, you've been just...
Q&A.
You're Pat's dad today. You're just nothing
Pat's
good, Pat.
Pat's dad.
You're Pat's dad today. All right. Patreon poll topic you vote on every week.
Vote.
In third place. Wow, third place. Are you interested in watching WrestleMania this year? 18%. No, I have no interest in WrestleMania in a small, dark room. It's a shame because, like, Edge...
This wasn't voted on.
I know, but I'm just saying that's why I'm not interested in. In second place, which we'll make sure it's there next week, will we ever see another major console that is not Nintendo/Sony/Microsoft?
I thought we scrapped that one.
No, you wanted to. It's not up to you, baby. It's up to what they want. And second place gets the auto buy-in for the next week. And in number one place, first place, talk about Nintendo and Mario 35th anniversary release. Rumors.
So it's Mario's 35th anniversary.
Super Mario Brothers 35th anniversary.
Yes, super. The super one. The one with the cape. 35th anniversary of Super Mario Brothers. That's neat.
One with a cape.
Super. I just was just saying. Oh,
well, he's World with the cape, but okay.
He does have a cape in World.
Okay.
Right. So there's lots of talk about what Nintendo's going to do to celebrate.
Celebrate.
But people are starting to put in their votes, their hopes for remakes. People think that there's going to be a remake of Sunshine. People think there's going to be a remake of 64. I hope we see... I wouldn't mind seeing a console-based remake of 64. Or a good port of it. I would like to play it again. I've never much cared for Mario 64. I would like to play it on a modern system and see if maybe a fresh coat of paint could change my mind on it.
Okay.
Super Mario Sunshine, on the other hand, that's one that people love or hate. I just feel kind of in the middle of the road on Mario Sunshine. I think that that's probably the one that we will see a remake of that probably sooner because... That game came out when a lot of people who are now in their early 20s were growing up with a GameCube. I think there's a lot of nostalgia right now for Super Mario Sunshine. We're selling a lot of Super Mario Sunshine whenever we get it in at work. So I think that that's definitely one that we could see a remake of. I think that's probably what it will be.
You think it's going to be that?
That would be, if they're going to remake a Mario game, that's what they're going to do.
Well, 64 had what? The one on the DS, right?
It had the one on the DS already.
So that's a remake, kind of.
People always want to see that one on an actual console, though, because that one did not, it was with a D-pad. There was no, like, it didn't have, like, true analog support.
Oh, I see.
And it had all sorts of, like, added characters and stuff like that. So it would be cool to see
so
that,
they
like,
could do a semi port of that, I guess, if they wanted to or try to.
Yeah, I wouldn't mind seeing like a full-fledged remake, but you could do even a port. They've got a really nice engine in the Mario Odyssey engine that they could do. I mean, they could recreate a Mario game and make it look really nice if they wanted to.
Well, this is the actual rumors or reported. These were backed up by the sites VGC and then Eurogamer. It said, for the remasters, our sources telling us that Nintendo is pursuing something like a Super Mario All-Stars 2 for the 3D Mario games. That's extremely ambitious. This would include Super Mario 64, Super Mario Sunshine, and then Super Mario Galaxy and Mario Galaxy 2. It's likely that 3D World may get its own separate deluxe style release, which would make sense since, you know, the Switch is a bigger...
That was... That was the Wii U one.
Exactly.
And so maybe get Land and World together.
It makes sense to re-release something that no one bought on the Wii U. So while it's possible the older 3D Mario games would come in a single compilation, sure, re-release them for the 50th time, it's also likely Nintendo will release them individually as it did with the Zelda remasters. So that's a very ambitious thing to say, that we're going to just remaster all the big 3D Mario games and put them out. I don't know if that's going to happen. I can see them just re-releasing them. Without the remastering all of them, that just seems like, how would they have time to do all that and get it all out for, unless they were planning this years in advance?
I think it depends on what you want to expect out of a remaster and what they're going to do. I mean, they did do the Wind Waker and Twilight Princess ones for the Wii U.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, the Wii U wasn't around for long when both of those came out. You know, I mean, I don't think they need, if it's just doing a slight remaster, you know, textures and things like that, you probably don't need a huge team. But some of those, like if you're going to do Mario 64, if you do it on like an All-Stars pack, you could definitely just leave it the way it was.
Just leave it.
You can
or include
it
that and the DS one.
But I feel like if you're going to try to charge its, you know, if you're going to try to make it its own separate release, or SKU as the kids like to call them, then I feel like that would probably be more of a candidate for a full remake.
Stock keeping unit, Ian.
Yeah, but
I would say that
I don't. But knowing Nintendo, no, I don't think that this is all going to happen this year. And I would be surprised if we actually got it in a Mario All-Stars pack. I would be very surprised. I like what Nintendo does most of the time, but that doesn't mean I don't have criticisms for them. And they will definitely milk all of this.
I don't see why people wouldn't be satisfied to have these non-remastered put out in a pack and sell them.
They would be, but I don't know that Nintendo will do that
for these. But it's okay to do the 8 and 16-bit ones, but they don't want to do it for the newer consoles.
Right.
I don't know. I'm like 50-50 on this about what direction they would go. I definitely see them re-releasing the Wii U stuff, though, because that makes sense too.
So
they do that with every other freaking first title, you know, game for the most part.
So that's World. World, like we've mentioned before, does have some touchscreen stuff that you did use the controller for. Mm-hmm. I'm sure they can get around that.
Sure.
They can get around that. And I love 3D Land. I'd love to see 3D Land included in there for no real reason other than the fact that it would be a great package of games.
Is that the one with Cat Mario? Which one was Cat Mario?
That's 3D World as well. But it was introduced in 3D Land, which was the 3DS Mario.
Okay. So that I'd be more likely to see happen there. Maybe they'll announce that stuff in the next Direct in June or later in the summer there. And then they also claim that there's going to be, let's see, Paper Mario game, meanwhile, represents a return to the franchise's roots. It means something closer to the N64 and GameCube games, which are beloved and leave behind the baggage of the more forgettable entries on 3DS and
so
Wii U.
So that means probably an RPG, something closer to an RPG.
Okay. It's a lot to do in 1 year, though.
That's my number one thing. Nintendo doesn't do anything particularly fast. By the time they announce something, like on a Nintendo Direct, it's usually only maybe 6 months away from release. They're pretty good about that.
Sure.
Unless it's like a big preview, you know, like that's wrong. What I'm saying is wrong. But by the time they finally get that hype machine going with like in-depth previews, it's pretty close to release. I don't think Nintendo is going to have any of this stuff. We might get a remaster, sure, but I don't know that we're going to get a new Mario game.
I think you're going to get one thing, and that's it. You're going to get one of these things. You're going to get just a pack with nothing remastered, or one remaster, or Paper Mario.
This is what I think we'll actually get this year. I think we'll find a way to get 3D World on the Switch,
sure, that's easy.
Whether or not it comes with 3D Land. And I think we will get a new Paper Mario game announced that will be an RPG.
You don't think you'll get a pack? Like the old pack came out like for the 25th anniversary?
No, I mean, I don't know. I don't see that necessarily happening quick, but that would, depending on how much effort they want to put into the versions that they're putting on the pack, that would be a quick thing for them to throw together for Mario's 35th birthday. So we could see any of it, but we're not going to see all of it. And it's certainly not all going to be this year. Like, I would expect to have that Paper Mario announced this summer and maybe out next year sometime.
I don't know. Is the 35th a big anniversary where you have to do something versus obviously the 25th?
Also, no, I don't think so. That's the other thing.
Unless you're a video game Twitter account and you do the anniversaries and everything.
It's the 21st birthday of Destruction Derby on the PlayStation. Who remembers? Do you remember? Fucking give me likes and retweets. I fucking hate those accounts.
That's why I needled you, man.
The fucking worst.
7 years ago, this classic came out. I guess, well, this will be an interesting year for the anniversary. The real anniversary is next year. It's 50 years next year for Mario. That's going to be interesting to see if they do something for that.
50 years next year for what?
Mario. Donkey Kong would be 50 years. Excuse me, 40 years.
40,
not 50.
I was going to say. Jesus.
40 years next year. That's going to be interesting. The theme park was supposed to come out this year, but with everything, with the Olympics getting pushed, they might as well push that for the Universal Japan thing. So
yeah, I have a feeling that we might see more for 40th overall. You think so? 35th anniversary of the second.
That's a weird thing to say. It's a 35th anniversary of, I get, it's the start of the Super Mario franchise, but there was Mario games before that, even though there was only a couple.
Right.
You know, it's still, you know what I mean? Plus, he was the villain. Remember, he was the villain in that one game. Man. I love Donkey Kong Jr. so much. So much. Yeah, there'll be a Donkey Kong anniversary as well. Maybe there'll be a new Donkey Kong country next year. Oh.
I would like that.
That'd be sweet. Anyway, all right. That's it for this.
That's it for this. We can hold off that Q&A to next week. It's still going to be just as topical as it is. We've got an hour and 40 minutes or so here. So.
142, Ian. You're Pat Mutant power of telling time without seeing it pass is
my Pat Mutant power?
You never heard of my mutant power of doing that?
I'm good at that too. The whole like guessing how long
I've literally woken up in the middle of the night and knew what time it was for looking at something.
Oh yeah.
Multiple times. It's weird.
Your body has a clock.
No, I mean like it's 2:37 sort of that specificity. It's happened before.
That's a good one.
Ask my ex about that. It's happened multiple times where I'm like, oh, it's this time and it was.
Specificity. That's a word that I don't have trouble with that you do.
Specificity.
There are definitely words that I have trouble with that you don't, but specificity is one that I don't have a tough time saying.
Specificity.
Yeah.
She sells...
Hold on. Let me lube up the mouth real quick.
Oh, that's not too good. Seashells by the seashore. There.
She sells seashells by the seashore. That's actually the best I've ever done it. Wow. I was very much expecting to just flub it horribly.
The pressure was on.
Peter Piper picked a pack of pickled peppers.
Wow. Wow, Ian. All right. We have a new YouTube channel for you. Go on that TikTok and do all of that with the kids love, and you'll get a million views on TikTok. I'm not sure. I don't know if you can monetize it TikTok, but you can be a TikTok star doing, what are those called when you do something like Peter Piper?
I think they call them talkers. And that's the name of the people who use TikTok. Bunch of talkers.
No, the name of like the phrases.
Twisters.
Oh, they're just called tongue twisters?
Tongue twisters.
I thought that was another name for that. Now I'm getting tongue twisted. Tongue twister phrases.
Hold on.
Twister. You're getting bonus content in this segment here.
Tongue twisters. Let's see what some famous ones are.
She sells.
That one always gets me. I'm not doing it again.
How can a clam cram in a clean cream can? I can do that one easily. Ice cream, you scream, we all scream for ice cream. That's easy.
Six slippery snails slid slowly seaward.
Wow, okay. I saw Susie sitting in a shoe shine. Wow. I saw Susie sitting in a shoe shine. That's a tough one.
Oh, this one looks... This one is going to be awful. This one's called Sheik's Sheep. The six... This one sucks. The sixth sick sheep's sick. Fuck that one with a shovel.
The S's are tough because you have to like form the S.
Six sick sheep's, yeah. Six sheep's sick. All right, fuck it.
I'm trying this one. Betty Botter bought some butter, but she said the butter's bitter. If I put it in my batter, it will make my batter bitter. But a bit of better butter, damn it. But a bit of better butter will make my batter better. So 'twas better Betty Botter bought a bit of better butter.
I almost got it. It's the one word for me.
Black bug bit a big black bear, but where is the big black bear that the big black bug bit?
That's pretty good.
That's a fun one. Oh, stumps sitting skunks. A skunk sat on a stump. The stump thunk the skunk. Whoa, that one sunk me in the second line. Good stuff. Tongue twisters.
I have got a date at 7:45. I'll see you at the gate, so don't be late. That's easy, that one. Some of these are like really tough. Some of these are easy.
Some of these are just fanciful little rhyming things.
The clam one's easy. The woodchuck one is actually, I think, once you actually read it, a lot of people can get that one.
How much wood could a woodchuck chuck if a woodchuck could chuck wood? That one's easy. I can do that one all day long.
There's two more lines, though. He would chuck as much as he could and chuck as much wood as a woodchuck would if a woodchuck could chuck wood.
Yeah, that one's not so bad.
Yeah, it's not so bad.
No, it's the S's. That sixth... I can't even say it. Sixth chic.
Sixth chic?
Sixth chic.
I'm trying to find that one and read it myself.
That one fucking sucks.
Sixth chic. Yeah, it's...
Sixth chic. Here it is. It's just one line. Nine.
The six shik sheeks ship sheeps sick.
It doesn't even sound like you said words there.
I didn't. No, I thought
you
I said
did. No, you had, you were nowhere close.
The six sheeks six sheeps sick. I said it. I got it.
Well,
it's so tough. This sound is like
we'll let the peanut gallery decide how close you got.
I thought
that
I got
one.
That one. The Peter Piper one, I probably couldn't do that quickly.
Peter Piper picked a peck of pickled peppers. How many pecks of pickled peppers would Peter Piper pick? If a pick of,
That's not it.
I know. I don't know where.
I like the better, the Betty Botter one. I couldn't say it. That one I almost got. Probably. Anyway, this is a fun studio podcast.
Yeah, we're out of here. Just doing some tongue twisters at the end.
Yeah, we'll do some tongue twisters. I'll probably be streaming again this weekend. And I'll do another flash sale for Midwest for a certain NES guidebook. We'll see. And you can get the Blu-ray. You can get the limited shirt as well there. Plenty of limited shirts left. Running out of the My Man shirts. We only got small and medium My Mans left there. All right, that's Ian.
Bye.
I'm Pat. We'll see you later.